20 Dudes, the tabletop role-playing podcast where the die decides our topic. I am Dylan, and this week I am once again asking to have your forgiveness for not putting out an episode in a timely fashion. The intent for this particular episode was it was going to be some stuff on making an actual play podcast, something that I've been struggling to actually accomplish myself for a while, but I do have quite a few friends who are experienced in doing this. I'm pretty well acquainted with the guys who made Trailblazers, you know, Words, part of the podcast. Tim has been on several times. And the idea was I wanted to either get Caleb or get Christian on to guest as part of this episode, because while I do have some insight into how these things are done, I haven't quite managed to actually accomplish the deed. So I thought getting somebody who had been part of the process and somebody who was willing to expand on their own experience in doing this would be good for the podcast. Now, I actually did manage to get someone on for this, but circumstances dictated that they were not going to be able to make it. So unfortunately, while I waited, you know, a few days to try and get everything sorted out, it just seemed like it wasn't going to happen. So what we're going to do is we're going to put that episode on hold for now, because I really would like to get somebody with experience doing this particular thing to come and share their insight and share some of the difficulties and some of the things you can do to help you out if you wanted to make one of these for yourself. So this week, unfortunately, we will not be talking about making an actual play podcast again. But I have decided, in lieu of doing that, we're going to talk about something that's just going to be fun. Just something that we're going to just have a good time with, because I just want to talk about it. And that's going to be dragons. I enjoy dragons. And we're going to talk primarily about the dragons of D&D and Pathfinder. But of course, dragons are going to exist in just about any setting that you can come up with that is even remotely fantasy in nature. And a lot of the time they even show up in sci-fi. You know, you've got dragons in Starfinder, of course, because that's basically just fantasy in space. But then you've got stuff like Shadowrun, where dragons are kind of like these large shadowy entities where, yes, they're amazingly powerful beings, but they also run these mega corporations and do things like that. So dragons are a lot more versatile than just being the giant fire-breathing lizard that a lot of people may think that they are. Dragons are meant to be very intelligent, very powerful, very devious, and very prideful creatures. Dragons can often be the villains of a story. You'll see that in a lot of D&D campaigns, where it's a big red-scaled dragon who lives atop a volcano in a lair filled with deadly traps to guard his horde, who has been flying out and wreaking havoc across the land. But then there are people who think dragons don't necessarily need to be the bad guys. Dragons can be, you know, the good guys, the virtuous creatures, the ones who want to protect the land and all of its inhabitants, a la The Entire Inheritance Cycle by Christopher Paolini. The only thing that stops you from using a dragon in whatever way that you deem fit is your imagination. Dragons can be good guys, bad guys, they can be neutral, they can be deities, they can be mindless creatures who are crawling their way up from the depths of hell to wreak havoc. Dragons can be just about anything, but for now we're going to talk about the two main types of dragons you're going to see in both Pathfinder and in Dungeons & Dragons. And these two types of dragons are the chromatic dragons, which are largely evil, and the metallic dragons, which are largely good. I do say largely because it is not a hard and fast rule. A metallic dragon does not have to be good, and a chromatic dragon does not have to be evil. But more likely than not, they will be. The chromatic dragons are separated into the five of red, blue, green, black, and white dragons. Reds like to breathe fire, blues like lightning, greens breathe poison, black, I believe, also breathe poison, and white breathes ice. Black may breathe acid in D&D. And then in the metallics, you have gold, silver, bronze, brass, and copper. And these ones I have a bit more trouble differentiating, because gold and silver are very obvious, but then bronze, brass, and copper can get very similar in their colors, and thus I will often get things mixed up. But I know golds will breathe fire, silvers will sometimes breathe ice, sometimes also breathe fire. I believe it's the bronze dragons who breathe lightning, and I honestly couldn't even remember what copper and brass do. And these two are separated by not only ideological differences, but by religious differences in both Dungeons & Dragons and in Pathfinder. The stories vary, but the general way that they are distributed in terms of their spiritual beliefs is that the metallic dragons will believe in a large platinum-colored dragon who is kind of the embodiment of order and law and good. In Pathfinder, this god is named Apsu, who was once a large freshwater ocean, who was then given draconic form whenever he decided to take a material existence to go into the material plane. And in Dungeons & Dragons, this is the platinum dragon Bahamut. In both D&D and Pathfinder, the chromatic dragons worship Tiamat, who is an evil dragon, usually having five heads that represent the five basic types of chromatics: the red, blue, green, black, and white. She is also sometimes known as the Queen of Dragons because she gives birth to large broods of chromatic dragons. In the Pathfinder lore, it is that Apsu and Tiamat were two oceans. Again, Apsu being freshwater, Tiamat being saltwater, that they collided and they became mates. And one of Tiamat's offspring became the first dragon, who then went insane and started destroying just about everything. And Apsu took a physical form to stop him. Tiamat took a physical form to try to plead with Apsu to not kill her firstborn son. And this came into a back and forth where Tiamat became the queen of all evil dragons, and the chromatics are like lesser forms of the metallic dragons that Apsu created, which the chromatics will absolutely just destroy you for trying to imply, whereas Apsu actually ended up getting injured and is hiding somewhere in his own demiplane where no one can find him. In Dungeons & Dragons lore, both Bahamut and Tiamat were originally the same god, a proto-dragon god named Io, who in a time before history was fighting the primordials, these giant elemental beings, and Io got split directly down the middle by the axe of a primordial, becoming the two gods, Bahamut and Tiamat, who allied themselves just long enough to kill the primordial who would have otherwise slain them, and then immediately went their separate ways so as to not kill each other. These philosophical and ideological differences on their own will give a good idea as to why the chromatics and the metallics do not often interbreed with each other. They do not often even tolerate each other. There are cases where this won't be the case, however. There is a few examples, I believe, in Pathfinder of chromatic dragons being able to temper their own nature and realize that the things that they're doing are going to cause, you know, problems even for themselves down the line if they keep doing such destructive and hateful things, and have managed to keep themselves in check. Whereas the metallic dragons can actually undergo a process called tarnishing, wherein their scales will lose a lot of their luster and they will actually become evil, with the silver dragons being the most prone to doing this in the Pathfinder canon, because while they are very prideful, they are very unsure of themselves. Dragons are born with an ancestral memory, I believe, in both Dungeons & Dragons and in Pathfinder. When a dragon is born, it may not know everything it needs to know, but it's going to know a lot about itself. Even a newly hatched dragon understands that it is an apex predator. There are few things that are as powerful and as fearsome as a dragon, regardless of its color and regardless of its temperament. So because of this, dragons being born knowing that they're going to be the top of the food chain are very arrogant. They're very haughty, just kind of from the get-go. And even metallic dragons, who tend to be very lawful, who tend to be good and maybe not necessarily friendly towards humans, but at least more tolerant of them, they can come across as being very arrogant, as being much holier than thou in their attitudes, because they just understand that they are bigger, stronger, and fiercer than just about any other creature in existence. As a result, even metallic dragons can be hard to deal with by the other races, especially whenever times are dire and either their wisdom or their outright might is required. But young dragons are still very weak, like especially whenever they're just hatched. You know, they may understand that they're going to be an apex predator, but they're not there yet. So they're at least intelligent, much more intelligent than most other creatures of their age. And they will stay with their mothers in a brood for some time, and at least until they are large enough to hunt on their own. I know a lot of the chromatics especially will only tolerate their own brood for so long because they are forced to make sure that their species can survive. But it will come to a time whenever Big Mama Black Dragon has decided she's had enough of her own babies and may even kill one to drive the rest out of her own nest and force them to seek their own territory. And dragons will very seldom try and take a territory that's anywhere near another dragon, whether that be one of their own species, whether that be one of another species. They will try and find as secluded a territory as possible that is close to water, close to food, and especially close to treasure, because all dragons love to keep hordes. That is one thing that is universal among dragons, even most of the time whenever they're not part of the, you know, chromatic or metallic lineages, because there are so many different types of dragons, but we're not going to go into them today. But there's, like, of course, the imperial dragons, the primordial dragons, there's the Jabberwocky. The dragons get crazy. So they will always want to be near where they can loot and plunder and gather, like, precious gems and priceless artworks, tons of coins. Dragons just love hoarding treasure. And as a result, they don't want to step on each other's toes. If a young dragon is going to try and take territory from an older dragon, or is forced to do so, he will often lay low for quite some time, trying to not draw attention to himself, trying to keep himself out of the eye of whatever older dragon that is already in the territory, and try and build up his strength and build up his wealth. And dragons, again, are intelligent. They can speak to other creatures, and oftentimes some of the more devious kinds, black dragons especially, being very cunning and very just kind of garbage to their own race, will often hire bands of adventurers to assassinate other dragons that whose territory they want to claim. So they will do everything in their own power to try and muster up as much strength as possible and either try and kill the other dragon or try and make some kind of accord, because it is possible that dragons can spend some time together sharing a territory. This is most common with mates. Dragons may fly far and wide to try and find mates for themselves, and very seldom do they mate outside their own color. It isn't unheard of, but the majority of the time, a black dragon is going to mate with another black dragon. A gold dragon is going to mate with another gold dragon. Again, it isn't 100% necessary that they do this, but the mixing of the bloods can cause some very unforeseen circumstances in their offspring, things that can be very problematic, whereas a dragon who has entirely silver scales may breathe fire instead of ice and not have his shape-shifting abilities. And if the silver dragon was the mother who the brood got left with, the mother will not know how to teach that dragon things it needs to know. Most of the time, dragons will only mate inside their own species. And I do mean their own species, because while it is uncommon for dragons to breed outside of their own colors and mate outside of their own colors, it's even more uncommon, but again, not unheard of, for dragons to mate with other intelligent creatures, especially when it comes to humans, who in these settings seem to have just a penchant for being able to have sex with anything that moves. So humans and dragons have made it in the past, dragons and elves have made it in the past, and dragons apparently have very prolific genetics. Like the half-dragon template in Pathfinder is something that can be applied to just about any creature, whether it be a beast or a person. There's somebody who has a dragon parent, and this isn't always on the dragon's part that they wanted this to happen. Sometimes it is a female who was forced forced to accept genetic material from a species that is not her own. Sometimes it is just a male who wants to go out and decides while in human form, especially with silver dragons, again, because silver dragons love to shapeshift, that they've taken a fancy to a human maid. So as a result, in the Dungeons & Dragons canon, you have the Dragonborn, who are exactly as they sound. They are people who are part dragon as in their lineage, and they're an entire race of people who are two-legged, standing upright dragons, and they are different than the half-dragons, where Dragonborn are a specific race of dragon people. There are half-dragons who specifically have a dragon as a parent, as a progenitor. And while Dragonborn are not necessarily anything to sneeze at, because, you know, they're a race of dragon people, the half-dragons are going to be more powerful because they have that direct dragon blood in them. They are half dragon by blood. And this can occur in, of course, humans. This can occur in basilisks, I believe, is a pretty common one for some reason. Dragon turtles are a thing. I think are a species that do have dragon blood in them. The list goes on. It's honestly a fascinating topic to delve into. And that's only the kinds of dragons that you get through actual mating. I don't remember what they're called off the top of my head, but the Illithids, who have a process called seromorphosis, where they place one of their tadpoles inside the brains of a living creature for it to be devoured so that their body can become a new Illithid, can actually do that to dragons as well, creating a Mind Flayer dragon. It's incredibly rare. Not only because dragons are not entirely common in the Underdark, but because dragons are incredibly hard to subdue. And also because this process, when applied to a dragon, you know, a tadpole is not meant to survive off the mind of a dragon. That could be too much for the tadpole, and the process could reject. So these incredibly powerful Mind Flayer dragons are not something you're going to see terribly often. But it does present a specific and unique type of challenge for any given party whenever not only do you have to deal with a breath weapon and the giant body of a beast, but it has a psionic ability to reach into your mind and try and take over your brain from a distance, especially with the incredibly powerful gray matter of a dragon. Now, the last thing I kind of want to touch on, because we're coming up right on the 20-minute mark and we're going to kind of leave it here, this is going to be a bit of a shorter episode, is that dragons, again, are very, very intelligent. They are not mindless beasts. There are some dragons that are in the canons meant to be not quite as intelligent as others. Like a white dragon is supposed to be kind of a more instinctual hunter, one that doesn't have quite as much like actual intelligence as other dragons. They're still incredibly smart by human standards, but when it comes to the types of dragons that you're going to encounter, white dragons may be some of the least intelligent because they tend to live on snowy mountains and on the tundra where prey is scarce, resources are scarce, and they just don't have the luxury of devoting as much to just base intelligence. They're going to be a more instinctual hunter. But this means that dragons, especially evil dragons or even good dragons who are wanting to interfere with the goings-on in the world and the politics of the land, they don't even necessarily have to go out and deal with it themselves. In fact, the blue dragons of Pathfinder are well known for weaving webs of intrigue. Blue dragons love to live in desert environments where they can dig underground layers in the sandstone, and they may not come out of their layers for years, decades, centuries even. They will manipulate the politics of a desert from underneath it, unbeknownst to everyone, wherein there may be an entire desert kingdom, a sultanate possibly, water barons, people who control vast swathes of land, and there will be dozens of factions all vying for control in the desert, trying to take control of the water, take control of the mining resources, always at each other's throats, always going through these strange and almost arcane sets of assassinations and political ploys to like undermine each other's power. And in reality, while all of this seems like it's these people fighting against each other, the heads of these factions, the people who are most trusted and most powerful in the world, are all under the thrall of this blue dragon. And it's not even a mind control thing. It's that once somebody gains so much power in the desert, the dragon will appear to them and say, hey, I actually rule this desert. I think you're a pretty cool guy. You have my favor. Keep it up. And I will make sure that you flourish and you prosper. And this person, of course, seeing that there's a dragon underneath the desert that they reside in, and that the dragon is not going to kill them, but in fact favor them, will say, oh, cool, I'm going to keep this up. I'm going to do a good job so Big Daddy Dragon will reward me. And so they go and they do all these things, and unbeknownst to them, that same thing has happened to every single one of the faction leaders. They all know that there's a dragon underneath the desert, and they're all keeping that secret till their dying day, till their very grave. They will never tell anybody that there's a dragon living under that desert, but that dragon is manipulating each and every one of them against each other for the fun of it, because it's funny to watch the pink two legs fight against each other like this. So dragons, in this way, can be not only good villains, but good heroes, where they can interfere with the politics of the land using their power and their wealth and their might to do these kinds of things. But we're going to leave it there for this week. Again, a bit of a shorter episode, but yeah, I do want to get that. I do want to get a guest on for talking about making actual play podcasts. So if I can get that fixed in the near future, we'll go ahead and do that. But for now, we're going to roll the dice and see what next week's topic could be. I have rolled a two. Two is the archetypes of Wrath and Glory. So we're going to talk about what archetypes are and how they affect Wrath and Glory and what they mean for your players and your characters. So thank you everyone for listening this week. And socials, if you want to find us on Facebook, it is facebook.com/d20dudes, twitter.com/d20dudes, or @d20dudes on Twitter. If you want to support us on Patreon, like our lovely patrons, Ari, Word, Jenny, and Ken, $3 a month will get you a shout out in every episode like I'm doing for them. Patreon.com/d20dudes. And if you would like to join our Discord, link to that is down in the description of the show. So thank you again, everyone, for listening, and I'll catch you in next week's episode. Goodbye.